right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith.
Brought to you by alcohol and weed.
Weed candy.
We're not here smoking. They're children here.
With my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, it's been a few days.
We tried to start this podcast, and we had to stop because Chuck was fervently sucking a weed lozenge.
Yeah. A giant lozenge in his mouth, like Mark Maron. They were talking into a microphone.
There were four of them. John brought beer, and I'm not drinking this podcast, and it's going to be a long one.
He saw my beers and got jealous, so he had to do some other kind of drink.
We're recording late in the afternoon, a reasonable time for refreshment.
Afternoon delight.
It's almost 5 o'clock.
Almost 5 o'clock. Well, we don't have time to kind of screw around like we normally do. There's so much happening. The end of the regular season, awards season, the playoffs coming up. But first, we do have time for breakfast. Did you have breakfast?
Yeah, I had weed. I'm eating weed in the mornings now.
You mean Wheaties.
Wheaties. That's what I meant. No, I'm joking. I woke up late and I went to a local establishment, Cochon Butcher.
That's my hangout.
Le Cochon.
Le Cochon.
Get your own turf.
Which means the pig.
Nashville has one now. Take that, New Orleans.
Yeah, it was a New Orleans staple that now expanded here to Nashville.
And ours probably has some kind of hot chicken nonsense.
I think they stayed away from hot chicken to my delight, because I saw hot chicken toothpaste at the grocery store the other
day.
No, I went to Cochon. They have a daily special. On Thursdays, they do a braised pork over rice with gravy, a little side salad. But that was
so you're that fat guy at the Burger King who gets the Whopper but then gets the Diet Coke?
Always. Every time.
Nice.
All I do is drink Diet Cokes with my Filet-O-Fish sandwiches.
Le Cochon has a gumbo bowl. Mm-hmm. I want to say it costs $9. So it's very small.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a little pricey.
It's very small. And I was like, I asked them, I would like to get maybe a po' boy. Do you do a side of gumbo? Like it's po' boy chips, $11 or something. I'm like, would you substitute a side of gumbo if I paid the difference, like the extra $5? And the guy was like, well, no, because chips cost $3. I'm like, no, I understand. If I paid you $6 more, if I gave you $17, do you do that for the bowl of gumbo and a sandwich?
Why didn't you just order a bowl of gumbo?
Because he didn't want to pay chips for the chips for no reason.
I don't want $21. I wanted $16 or whatever it was.
He's got a point.
And the man says, well, if I did that for you, I have to do that for everyone. To which I said, so your answer is no. Mm-hmm. No, you do not do the additional upgrade.
Yeah, I waited for my food for like 40 minutes, and then I walked up to him and was like, hey, where's my food? Give me $15 gift card.
So. Sit outside at the outdoor bar every day of the week.
Oh, I know. We were outside, didn't want to sit at the bar. Somebody I was with.
Well, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Tony Allen out indefinitely.
Jesus H. Christ.
No. With a strained groin, a strained calf muscle, which he injured playing in game 82, game which they forfeited to the Mavericks.
Guys, I don't want to be, you know, a harbinger here, but I think they really don't have a chance to beat the Spurs now.
Jesus.
So that's, I'm going to do a slow fade to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
The funeral music is coming in now.
Dirge.
We now have the dirge. I hear the organ music.
That's John's funeral music.
Core four. It was good. It was good while it lasted. Not everybody gets a 6-year run.
No.
So it's important at these times.
This is not like April Fool's thing.
To remember. No, it's breaking news at 4 o'clock on a Thursday.
Do you remember 2013?
All heart, grit, grind. I'll still remember him getting those. Coming back on the Warriors this season, Tony Allen getting like 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Oh, grandfather.
Grizzlies have no chance without Tony Allen.
You know what they do have? Those grandfather pepper grinders.
Oh, got to get my hands on one of those.
It's even worse, Chuck.
No, I think like that sort of accoutrement.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't feel like podcasting.
Yeah, I think it's like these
disaster.
Two. You should see the faces on both of these two. Life, you know,
the Grizzlies.
Grizzly
I had so little hope, and now I have zero.
I Can had negative actual, hope. I had hope actual hope. They have been not trying to play well as they try to get everyone healthy, blah, 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 just screw around with rotations. I was still hanging on to this. They were 4-1.
Does this mean Zebo's going to start now?
They're going to play like Wayne Selden
Harrison
or something. Going to start Wade. Oh, it's a nightmare.
Done. Well, not to burst your bubble, guys, but you weren't beating the Spurs anyway.
I think it could have been a very competitive series.
Could have won six
the
games.
The Spurs, and this is a... I mean, I don't want to give it away. I thought we were going to talk about it later.
I cared more about like keeping the streak of neither team ever scoring 100 ever again alive.
Mm-hmm. Tony Allen, if he misses the entire playoff series, could be the end of Tony Allen in Memphis. Yeah. If the Grizzlies get swept 4-0 in consecutive seasons, because they've never lost in the first round of consecutive seasons during this run.
Right.
It was always every other year. They advanced past the first round, then they lost in the first round. And it was always competitive until last year with the injuries. If they get swept 2 years in a row, they're probably not bringing Zach Antoni back. I feel sick.
Jesus.
I'm going to throw up my Starburst jelly beans that I had for breakfast. Man. Sweet tart jelly beans, excuse me.
You know, I haven't felt this bad since the last Saved by the Bell episode. You know?
My favorite Saved by the Bell episode is where she goes, she takes the caffeine pills, mm-hmm. and she goes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
So great.
That's a really good episode. And then she has sex with Kyle MacLachlan in a pool.
Oh, no, that's Showgirls.
Oh, yeah. Period sex in Showgirls, by the way. Learned a lot about women and myself.
Never seen
from Showgirls.
I know, I should see Showgirls.
Showgirls is a work of art.
Well, I'm glad we're distracting you guys from the pain that you're currently processing in your eyes.
Keith looks miserable.
I can't even. I've seen Showgirls and I can't even visualize it. I'm just not. I don't have the.
It's the dude from Total Recall.
I don't
have sex.
I don't have the heart
with Elizabeth Berkley, Jesse.
Yeah,
Spano.
And 13-year-old me is like, what is happening?
God, that's my move. Kyle MacLachlan. Did they go into the future and
this
see
isn't
my
Kyle
life?
MacLachlan. This is the weird black mutant rebellion leader from Total Recall.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
He ends up being the mutant leader. No one knew.
Yeah.
So we're just reveal in that
movie.
Do you want
to just not talk basketball today?
Third best reveal in that movie. Second best reveal is Kuatu. Do you guys remember Kuatu?
No.
Guy takes off his shirt, little man inside.
Yeah.
Amazing. Best reveal?
Triple titty.
That's it.
I thought you were talking about, still talking about Showgirls.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know the Kuatu in Showgirls.
I am desperately trying not to think about Tony Allen right now. Or basketball.
It's not good. Well, what, did you have breakfast, John?
You're looking at it, Bubba.
So no breakfast.
Fine Pilsner
No
beer.
Breakfast.
Fine Pilsner. Miller Lite.
Haven't eaten yet, so I feel really drunk.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
No apologies.
No apologies.
We don't have time to reflect.
No. We got stuff to talk about. It's going to be
maybe
hard.
No ad. Just
awards?
No ad. Let's just go.
Yeah. Awards, series, things.
No, let's change it up.
Yeah.
Let's move to our steak and eggs best thing. What's the, I don't know, is there still funeral music playing? I got to figure this out later. The steak and eggs best thing. We can apologize next week. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
You know, my Miami Heat showing the kind of heart and determination that we like here on the podcast. Finishing the season 30-11 after starting the season 11-30.
Oh, we didn't even give you a funeral.
I didn't get a funeral.
Start the funeral music again.
I don't know why they did.
I'm not.
But
Riles.
Yeah, so they accomplished a turnaround never before seen in the NBA. Came back from 19 under 500. To finish the season at 500, never been done,
and grab that eighth spot.
You gotta print up those watches.
Yep.
Wait.
First team, 19 games under 500 to get 10 games over 500.
Yeah, that's a
always believe culture. Miami Heat 2016-17.
They're gonna raise a banner.
Yeah. But yeah, they
in your face, LeBron James.
They played
P.S.
Yeah. P.S.
Suck it, Bosch.
You still haven't won in Miami since you've been in Cleveland. So. Yeah, they played great basketball, won their final game against the Wizards. Obviously, the Wizards were set. They didn't care. But
Which loss killed you guys? Which was the worst?
F***ing Knicks.
Yeah.
We lost to the Knicks.
That's brutal.
A week ago.
That's Phil Jackson, big middle finger to Riles.
Ugh. I hate it. But yeah. So
Zen master.
But when you go 30-11 in the second half of the season, you know, you feel good about momentum going forward. Now we got James Johnson and Deion Waiters to worry about re-signing. Deion's got a player option. I would think he would want to stay in Miami. And James Johnson probably is going to go get paid somewhere because he deserves it and he's long overdue a good contract. So, I'm a little leery as to how it's going to turn out next year, but we got Winslow coming back from injury and maybe have a decent lottery-esque pick in a stock draft.
You guys, you totally screwed the Grizzlies who were going to get your second-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's protected. It was looking like it was going to be a 30 to 40 pick.
Yeah.
That's where we excel.
I will say that I think our listeners know, my favorite thing about the Heat season, we don't get a lot right on Fast Break
James
Breakfast.
James Johnson.
We've been podcasting for 2.8 years about James Johnson needs a chance because he's awesome.
Yeah. Keith put me on to James Johnson when
he
signed to Miami.
And this is none of this. None of this. Oh, look at the improvements of James Johnson.
No.
Dial it back.
Yeah.
Listen to all our podcasts. Yeah.
What's sad is that James Johnson is doing really well, but if you have been a James Johnson appreciation society like us, James Johnson's not as good as he used to be.
Yeah,
right.
He used to be more athletic and explosive.
Well, he actually...
They've written all these stories about him losing 40 pounds. I don't believe it.
He looks exactly the same.
Well, he played in...
You look at the Google Grizzlies off the backboard dunk.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at that, he's got short shaved... And maybe it's just the haircut. Hmm. He's got a buzzed head. He looks way lighter than he does right now.
That happens a lot. Like, I have short hair because I get my hair cut once a year. And people are like, man, you lost a lot of weight. I'm like, no, not at all.
You just got a haircut.
I got a haircut.
So why wouldn't you just keep your hair shorter?
I like being a big ball of lard.
It is sad. No, I am sad that the Heat didn't make the playoffs because they're one of the... They've been playing the best, obviously, the second half of the season. One of the best teams. It feels weird they're not in the playoffs.
You think Orson Welles would be nearly as impressive if he was some skinny little waif-like creature? I don't think so, Chuck. Marlon Brando had gravitas.
Yeah, you're basically this podcast Paul Sorvino.
I don't talk to nobody. I have a brother named Tootie.
My steak and eggs best thing is Mo Harkless taking care of business.
Zero for zero.
Mo Harkless with a $500,000 bonus.
That's how you do it.
In his contract, if he shoots over 35% from three, was sitting right at 35.1% in their final game. Ain't no way he was going to take a shot.
If I was Dame Lillard, I would have set him up for three-pointers constantly.
Would have been hilarious. Just drive and get double-teamed and then kick it to him.
He's alone in the corner.
They were in like a playoff race, too. I wonder if he would have even taken a game-winning shot.
That would have been interesting if there were still things to play for.
Those are the moments that movies are made of later in life. Mm.
So that's my best
thing. I think what's his nuts?
Very amusing.
The guy who wrote The Punch. David Halberstam or whatever. I think he's going to write a book.
An
oral history of that moment.
That's pretty good.
Best thing I saw all week was Russell Westbrook kind of just taking back the MVP argument by having an insane performances and losing efforts sometimes. Sometimes game-winning efforts, but it looked like it was going to really be a race, but now it seems like he's overtaken the narrative again. And that was really...
I can't keep track of the narrative.
It has moved so much.
It's like the stock market.
Yeah, because it looked like he had it, and then now we've got a wave of like the big-time riders are coming out against him.
Yeah, well, like Kawhi's, but like the sleeper's favorite for a lot of...
I think James... I don't know. I just don't know.
I think it was the Washington Post, they endorsed Kawhi as their MVP.
Really? Yeah.
So they've, you know, there's weird...
Bontemps? Tim Bontemps?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. And they're going to have...
What a name.
It is a really great name.
Let the good times roll, Tim Bonton.
There seems to be like one. This is one of those years where you can't make a decision.
Are you guys both Westbrook?
I mean, we've been
avoiding it on the show.
I'm going to be a coward and not pick something until after the Oklahoma City-Houston series.
But you got to pick. These guys all have to pick. But
they do. I don't. I can sound smart because I don't have to give an actual answer.
I'm still team not Westbrook.
Yeah, I.
Keith has a vendetta because he has named like four different ones at certain points, just always above Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't deny
Keith has him as like fifth best.
He has put in the most impressive stretches of basketball I've seen.
Definitely the best opening and closing stretches this year.
Or just the games, just like him closing out the Nuggets, him closing out the Grizzlies, him closing out the Magic. The things where
Grizzlies game was unbelievable.
He had two Grizzly games, literally. Yeah. This is not
single-handedly won.
This is not Homer talk. Go look them up. Like they were some of the best basketball I've ever seen. We're literally playing against an unstoppable force.
Right. Yeah.
But he also has terrible games. Mm-hmm. And I think he gets his at the detriment of winning and his team, and that seems weird to me.
It's hard to call someone a ball hog when they're like third in assists,
right?
But he's still a ball hog.
And his per 100 possessions, Zach Lowe broke down the per 100 possessions as like a identifier of his assist numbers are right up there with Harden's.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
He's
awful.
He's still Russell Westbrook, man. I don't want to pick him. It's like picking Kobe, but he has been the best this year.
Yeah, and he...
To me, it's not close.
He effectively... And the numbers play out that when he doesn't play balls to the wall, they don't win.
No.
You know, so there's... He has to get a triple-double for them to have a chance almost.
It's because he's never taken the training wheels off for his team.
I think his usage rate's only like a couple points higher than...
It's the highest ever by a lot.
By a lot?
Yeah, it's it's like usage of over 41.
Really? I thought he was lower than that.
No, it's insane. Okay. But I mean, that only lends credence to his candidacy.
Yeah, it's just to say that your value is based on what your team decides it's necessary for them to win.
When they can use you that much and you do that well, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
How does he not break down? That's what I always wonder about Russell Westbrook.
And
that's the excitement.
And and
playing every game, playing balls of the wall every minute. That part's cool on offense,
right? Because he does not defend any shots at all. But the sheer like mental, it's tough for me to get up once a week to talk about basketball. And he
it sure is,
as our listeners can probably tell. This guy has put in ridiculous amounts of effort to maintain this triple double thing. While
one of the greatest seasons of all time. Award.
No, yeah, next award.
Are we going to do more awards?
No, that was our steak and eggs. Let's go to our cream of wheat.
Okay.
What's our worst of wheat? I like that rapid. That was no edit, boys and girls. That was that was just John shutting it down.
Shutting it down.
Like a champ.
That's how it's done.
Like a crossing guard. No, you stop now.
Oh, I had a good crossing guard story today.
Did you?
Got in a yelling match with one.
Oh, that's not a good idea. They'll write your license plate down.
Yeah, but see, I do this thing where I like, if I get a ticket, like I don't ever pay it ever, so I don't care.
You're gonna go
last
to jail.
Last time I got a ticket, yeah, the cop didn't actually fill it out.
Yeah,
you guys are so white.
It is. No, we're so white. I also had a crossing guard point.
I'm so point, white. Well, I'm not technically like being white.
And then do like a writing thing. Yeah, that never. No.
Liars. It's like those cameras. Those aren't real. Those are just blinking lights.
Unconstitutional.
I heard that.
Cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw in the last week?
So I was in my friend's basement, and we were just starting a podcast, and then he told me Tony Allen was out for the playoffs.
Yeah, he's out for a month. Out for a month, probably.
Oh, no, it's a month.
Okay, well, all right. So get past the Spurs.
Done. Easy. Easy.
Get past.
The Grizzlies have like 4 games in 6 days.
Right.
Yeah. The Grizzlies-Spurs series is so rapidly done.
Right.
No. It's we got this. Don't worry. So all we got to do, we get past the Spurs, and then we got to get past probably the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
And then I think we have to get past probably the Clippers, and then he can play in the NBA Finals.
Hmm.
Huh?
You don't have Golden State in the...
Huh?
Who do you got Golden State? Where's Golden State?
I don't know.
I'm so confused.
I don't feel good. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I was really working up to do like a Grizzlies, you know.
There will be no Grizzlies epilogue this week, sports fans.
Hype machine.
What's the worst thing you've seen, Chuck?
Wade Baldwin starting in a playoff series?
No. It was the lack of starters in the Brooklyn Nets.
Jess, you desperately needed the Nets to try.
The Nets and the Bulls last night. I needed the Nets to just put a little effort in. They beat the Bulls last week. With their full force team, Brooke Lopez wanted to start.
Brolo.
You had, you know, a bunch of starters who felt like they wanted to play, and they shut it down. It's an abomination. If that team had any game to play for this season, it's this one when they have the ability to affect the playoffs by knocking a team out. And they refused. And I only have one possible reason for this.
What's this?
It's simple. But it may sound a little bit conspiratorial.
Oh.
It's on.
Is this Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory?
Yeah. So here's what I think. In light of recent events, I don't know if you guys heard this, but former Trump advisor Paul Manafort was flagged.
That's a Harry Potter character, right?
No. I haven't read that. Or seen the boats.
Because you're a man.
Because I'm a grown up.
Because you're an adult.
Yeah. But Paul Manafort, one of Trump's advisors, been linked to Russian ties, taking money.
Whoa, Trump Russia ties?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Say what?
Hold on.
Google.
Did you guys not know about this? So Manafort was recently flagged for having a bunch of real estate properties that he was thought to have been laundering money through. So he would buy a property.
You know, you're supposed to have a license to sell real estate?
No.
Sorry, that's just I had been on my mind earlier.
So Manafort was buying properties at Trump Tower up the Upper East Side of Manhattan and one other place in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn.
Hmm.
This is what I think has happened.
Shout out power listener Michael Eads.
Oh, yeah.
Carroll Gardens.
Is he in Carroll Gardens? So what I think has occurred is that Paul Manafort is in cahoots with Mikhail Prokhorov. And what they are attempting to do is ruin America's greatest sport product and undermine our nation's institutions, thus seeding chaos in our wonderful and vibrant democracy.
You left out our children's morality.
Oh, yes. Because it's immoral.
The moral fiber of our children and understanding that a game is played to win.
Right. And the
Herm Edwards.
We play to win the game. But that so effectively, I think, it's all been one big giant middle finger from Vladimir Putin.
It's a KGB plan.
Moscow Center.
For us to lose our sense of
American
of achievement.
Pride in
Are you
winning,
saying Jeremy Lin is a Moscow-trained hood?
It makes sense. I mean, they have Yakuza ties.
They like to recruit people through Harvard and Yale.
I don't know if you've been on the internet, John. You can't say anything negative about Jeremy Lin.
Oh, it's
very bad backlash.
Oh, yeah?
It happens. People don't like it.
Terrible anime hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right, John. I mean, Chuck.
I'm also right.
John,
terrible hair.
John, normally right.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, very good conspiracy. It also bothers me. I defend the NBA vociferously in almost every aspect, every element. I'm like, if I see someone talking about anything else, I'm like, no, the NBA is awesome because this. Mm-hmm. And I could come up with any number of reasons outside of League Pass. This is indefensible.
It is.
Like, yeah, I mean, how can you watch college basketball? The refereeing is horrible. The play is horrible. Like, how can you watch baseball? Whatever. Like, football is that. Speaking of immoral, like that is the worst thing ever. The way
they're
the
gladiators, runs, Keith.
Yeah, well, they are gladiators. But the NBA, these teams who are not improving their draft position, they have no more games. Just being like, let's not play this game.
Right.
What is the point?
I had a friend, we were fighting over what to watch at the sports bar, and he wanted to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. I wanted to watch NBA, and he was getting in my face about all the terrible bums that were playing. And when I went to argue, smoke came out of my mouth because I had no defense at all. I was just like,
yeah. And I get Atlanta wanting to rest their guys prior to the playoffs. If you're a playoff team, I get it. I'm not mad at...
Did Tony Allen rest his last game? No.
Maybe.
Shut your mouth.
See?
No, playoff teams...
You keep his name out your mouth.
And even the way this idiotic lottery system is set up, if losing helps you, okay. When losing doesn't help you...
Right.
And you still are like, let's just shut it down for the year.
When your pick has been given away, like you have no pick... there's no reason for that to occur.
I got ideas.
I'm so one.
Every victory in April, your team gets $1 million.
Ooh.
Like, will that help? Something like that? What about every win after you've been mathematically eliminated for the playoffs? What if you got extra lottery balls for that? Like Bill Simmons.
I just think you should make John Milius the commissioner of the league.
Who's that?
The director of Red Dawn?
Yes.
Writer director?
Conan the Barbarian, but, Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, wow. But even though I know
Apocalypse Now.
Even though I know that.
Wrote the USS Indianapolis speech from Jaws. Put that guy in charge of the NBA. They will play hard every night until they are dead. They delivered the bomb.
Like, what if in the Premier League, like, you get paid out the league revenue based on where you finish in the table? Why couldn't the NBA... It is not an equitable split of the money. Like all the playoff teams, maybe they get this much, but then the lottery teams, you know, I think they should flatten the lottery kind of completely. But even if they don't, like what if these owners had a financial stake where, if we finish with the least amount of wins, we only get $30 million as opposed to the $60 million if we win more.
Yeah. I think we should take the Brooklyn Nets and contract them, possibly throw them down to the D-League, bring up the Sioux Falls Sky Force.
There you go.
I think if you don't, like if you go...
Iowa Energy.
Down.
There are probably consequences that I'm not envisioning, but like what about something radical? Like if you don't make the playoffs in 4 years, your salary cap decreases.
Yeah.
You know, like punitive punishments. Yeah. Like you should try to win every game.
Or fines.
Or something.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why the sport is not like, I don't know. I don't know why you're not trying to win for your fans and for your players every game. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get all Jeff Van Gundy.
I know,
but
I hate to. I understand
resting during the season.
That seems solid to me.
I understand monitoring the minutes. Players exert. I'm not one of those like if they're making $10 million
and go to work every
day. A plumber's working right. Whatever. No. Like rest. Take your nights off if the NBA schedules you 4 and 5. If you're hurt. If you're redlining mm-hmm. when they're monitoring your movements. But if your players are healthy and you're playing a basketball game. Phoenix Suns, play Tyson Chandler and Eric Bledsoe if they're better than the other guys you are playing.
Right.
Like, that part to me is crazy. I don't know. I think
you got to fix it.
It'd be so much more fun to watch the NBA if the teams, this is shocking, radical, if they tried to win. Like, if the players just tried to win the games that were in front of them. I'm really confused why this happened.
Keith has a piece of paper in front of him, and he has written the words Nick Calathes and drawn
big letters,
and underlined both of those words.
This is a leftover from my interview with friend of the show Ian Carmel. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when my guests are talking, and I'm like, you know what'll be funny if I can say this name later. Because he was talking about the Portland Grizzlies playoff series from a couple years ago.
I was
ago.
Hoping you were like. To replace Tony Allen, the Grizzlies should get Nick Calathes.
Only one person can save us.
He's what? Still serving out his Rogaine.
What if Wade Baldwin steps up like Tayshaun Prince did against the Orlando Magic in his rookie year
Whoa.
After not playing all season
Whoa.
And then averages like 13 points a game in the playoffs and just single-handedly destroys his opponent?
It's not going to happen. Maybe.
Heavy breathing.
Vince Carter will accidentally fall into a tub of Jaguar hormones.
Oh, he's already done that, my friend.
And he turns it back to 2002.
Vince Carter's dunking on someone right now at age 42.
Where are we at? That was the worst.
That was the worst. We're so disheveled.
This is the
worst. My worst of week outside of my favorite NBA player.
God damn it.
Of all time. You love him more than anyone.
I sat through this garbage. Mm-hmm. It was a garbage mm-hmm. NBA.
Here comes the truth.
Grizzly season.
Garbage.
I picked the under because I was distraught in the offseason, and then I looked like we were going to go way over it. No. Under. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Mark Gasol and Mike Conley combined for over 40 points per game.
Career years from
they
both.
They shot 40% from three mm-hmm. combined with, I think, four makes between them per game.
Poison pill.
They played 100.
Assistant coach garbage Fizdale.
They played 143 games combined, and still the Grizzlies won one more game than they did the year before, and now they're going to get swept because Tony Allen's not playing. I'm angry. My worst
you
of week
guys didn't even mention
my worst of week.
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler, that is some monkey's paw nightmare.
Jesus.
Don't
feed him after midnight.
That is a bunch of Grizzlies fans being like, we never get a free agent. Monkey's paw, I wish we get a free agent. And the monkey's all like, all right, here you go. Ooh. It's your dead son knocking at the door.
Be careful what you wish for.
My worst of week, Chuck, Brandon Rush.
Really? As we talk about Brandon Rush, I don't think this is even going to...
Write that down on that piece of paper and underline it.
Big letters.
Brandon Rush played 30 minutes. I'm trying to not think about Tony Allen.
Brandon Rush cost me a fantasy championship.
Brandon Rush, which would have had a superstar game in my negative fantasy league I'm starting next year for our Patreon members.
I tried to pick him up and play him in a last-second ditch to win.
Brandon Rush, second player in NBA history, going back to Basketball Reference, 83-84. Second player in NBA history to play 30 minutes in a game and not score, get a rebound, or an assist.
30 trillion.
Almost at the well. He had two shot attempts and I think a block.
That was almost club trillion.
It was like 30 trillion, 200 million. So, but anyway, 30 minutes and not doing anything. That's my worst of week. Believe that if you will.
Yeah.
It can shoot, did we do them all?
I don't care.
It's palpable. The lethargy in this room at
Where
this point.
Where is Tony Allen?
I'm going to break something.
The guy's eyes haven't stopped looking at the floor since we've heard this news.
Jesus.
John, go grab me one of my kids' toys. I got to break something.
I'll give you that mixing board. Keith's son has a toy mixing board.
He got it from our across the street neighbors. Don't break that one because he just got it yesterday. So he's like, that's his like...
Oh, new.
That's his like,
best.
Get out of bed. I'm going to play with this for a while and mm-hmm. be quiet, which is you don't mess with
no,
that.
No. That's gold.
Let's move on to some Hassan Whiteside. Cox it back to... Waffle House presents Scattered Smother Covered. What are we talking? Awards? Over-unders? Playoffs? Spin the wheel.
Okay, it's spinning. It's going around. Oh, sweet Jesus, it just landed on Tony Allen's injury again.
Yeah. We are a national program, so let's try to...
All right.
Only 8% of our listeners from Tennessee.
We knocked out our MVP talk. Let's talk about the other meaningful awards. I think Coach of the Year is interesting. I think there are three very good candidates. One candidate that keeps coming up that I think is kind of funny, Scotty Brooks.
Yeah.
Well, I think Scotty Brooks, he gets a pat on the back.
That's addition by subtraction. Whitman is gone.
Scotty Brooks gets a pat on the back. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Coach of the Year.
Yeah. A lot of these guys get like, yeah, good job. No. Like, thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Good job.
I think there's three coaches that could all, you know, reasonably be considered Coach of the Year in my eyes. It's Popovich, D'Antoni, and Coach Spoelstra.
Spoelstra's out. They didn't even make the playoffs.
I don't know.
Quinn Snyder.
That's arbitrary, like a triple-double. Yeah.
Snyder. Well, good luck winning a championship if you're not in the playoffs.
Quinn Snyder didn't get home court advantage. Arbitrary cutoff. Sorry. Yeah. Right. Sorry, bro.
I'm with that, though. Snyder kind of fell apart.
I am the best coach is Popovich. If you gave this Spurs roster to another coach, they would not be good. I'm blown away by the Spurs winning whatever they did again. 60-something.
I agree with you because I also feel like a lot of the awards get sabotaged by people's expectations at the beginning of the year.
And like D'Antoni.
Yes, and I don't think that should count.
Right, yeah.
But I do think D'Antoni has done an excellent job.
No, he has.
And he's about to get his, get his third undeserving MVP for his point guard.
He's going
to
get Coach of the Year, but I would give D'Antoni the pat on the back, thumbs up, good job.
I think there's another person we haven't mentioned is Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens.
Who's up there excellent. As far as like...
pat on the back, thumbs up, good job.
Nah, number one.
He hasn't even won a playoff series.
No, but he's number... But this is a regular season award. This is a regular season award.
And because the Cavs coasted...
Well, he's number one in the East.
It is hard to give it to Brad Stevens when they've looked very mortal since New Year's Day.
Right. And I think the recency bias leads us to believe that they're going to be destroyed by the Cavaliers in the playoffs.
Oh, if they even get there.
If they get that far. So,
That's a grim augury, boys.
But, I think it's probably writers aren't going to give a coach who isn't in the playoffs Coach of the Year, for sure, even though they were the second most injured team in the NBA. And still managed to be a game away, Nets, sons of bitches, from the playoffs,
Do you think Spo should be taken out of consideration for crying like a little bitch on TV?
He just missed it.
Those are Jaeger tears. Don't be rude, John.
Crocodile
who's
tears.
Who's your coach, John? I mean...
Chuck. I'm Chuck.
You can be a homer.
I love Eric Spoelstra and what he did.
This is
in Miami.
Awful.
He had eight players who played in the D-League on his team, and they were a...
You're talking
little
about
red hair.
This is awful. This is awful, but you can come back at me during the 6 minute award.
You're talking about a max
award.
Contract Hassan Whiteside. Come on now.
They have.
Who cares? All right. So you think they were 11:30. It's a good story. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of love on South Beach. All right, Chuck, that's fine.
Well, and I think them not making the playoffs gives
Popovich.
Them a little love with writers.
So two Popovich. I'm Popovich as well. What's the next category?
All right. I foreshadowed it. Sixth man of the year. The most confusing and most terrible award. Keith?
I have James Johnson, and I have James Johnson by a lot. And okay. this is a homer pick.
You're wrong, but you're not.
Here's
why.
I am outraged by the inclusion of, I think Eric Gordon is kind of silly. I don't get it. He's shot poorly. I mean, he's 40% shooter. I know a lot of that is because he shoots so many threes, but he's just a volume benefactor of the D'Antoni system.
Absolutely.
He's fine.
James Harden.
I would give him a pat on the back. Good job. I think James Johnson should get it because he's a guy. And also, I have my weird rules where I don't think if you're an all-star, you should get it. Yeah. I don't think if you've arbitrarily been moved to the bench.
Right.
So, like, I understand Iguodala winning it or people picking him. I think he's a fine candidate, but I think it's strange. So I'm kind of strongly for James Johnson. I think Zebo gets a shout-out.
Zebo.
Yeah, like, I feel...
Zebo and Eric Gordon.
I may not be able to be asked this. I may have to recuse myself since I sleep with Zebo every single night.
Yeah, with your
Ever
little
since
wrestling
Chuck,
buddy.
Chuck gave me a Zebo wrestling buddy.
Mm-hmm.
It's Zach Randolph. Come on.
Yeah.
He comes in and decimates other teams'
benches. Way more points per minute and points per possession than Eric Gordon.
Right.
And again, they desperately need... I know the Rockets desperately need Eric Gordon or someone to hit those shots. But just because you're a shooting guard, shooting 40% and scoring 16 points per game off the bench does nothing for me. Like, I would almost take Jamal Crawford over Eric Gordon.
Right, right.
I don't get the Eric Gordon. And also, since January, he's been... Even lower. He's like under 40%. And like Lou Williams, they're talking about, who was awesome on the Lakers. He shot 38% while he was on the Rockets. So not really interested. But also, I'll admit, didn't really research this one that much either.
No.
It's because it's harder to find. Chuck,
it's so hard
to
find.
You know, it would be like my sleeper. I think either James Johnson.
Meth Curry.
Meth Curry's Tyler Johnson could be. He's up there too. He played great off the bench. I think if from my perspective, the way a team reacted when a player got injured, Enes Kanter, when he punched that chair, they started stinking. And
Enes
when he came
Kanter,
back, they got good again.
Enes Kanter was my pick, I think, last year.
Yeah.
I forgot about him. But, yeah, he's a way better pick than Eric Gordon.
No, I agree. Enes Kanter, Greg Monroe, mm-hmm. I think the same thing. These are guys who don't really have – I don't want to just go to the
Greg Monroe
guys.
Thing is so weird because he kept getting in kids' doghouse and getting those DMPs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of a child's doghouse.
Oh.
you said he kept getting in kids' doghouse. That was –
Patty Mills, considering that...
Because he's better than Parker.
Because he's better than the starter.
Oh, God, that's sad.
And the reason why that second unit does so well.
Corey like Joseph.
Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles.
So it's a hard award. I hate the award. I think James Johnson for me, I think he's a runaway. But obviously, I'm really biased.
A runaway? Zach Randolph. He's right there.
But Zach Randolph and Eric Gordon and I think Lou Williams all have negative VORPs.
I'm stunned.
Over replacements.
I'm stunned that like the Zach Randolph superstar stepping into the six-man role hasn't gotten more talk on the national circuit. But then I remember he plays in Memphis.
Well, and it's traditionally not ever been a big man award. It's a,
Tell that to Kevin McHale.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next?
Well, this one's hard. Like, super hard. Defensive player of the year.
I don't have a strong opinion.
Got to pick one.
I would go Atlanta Hawks player of the month style and go Bear Draymond co-MVP. Co-defense player of the year.
That's not the way we play this game.
I'm going, go Bear just because it gives me a chance to say the nickname Block Chirac.
I'm going Draymond, and it almost kills me because I love Rudy Gobert. But Draymond, there's no way to take him out of games, to take his impact out of a game. Whereas Gobert, there are like some techniques opposing coaches can use to kind of nullify him to the point where they almost have to get him off the floor. Draymond Green, you could play him every minute of every game and he would make your team better defensively.
That's a good argument.
You could say the same thing about Kawhi Leonard, but I think Draymond's
obviously the versatility of Draymond makes him. And I normally like a perimeter defender, someone who can guard a perimeter player.
And remember, not unlike Russell Westbrook, I hate Donkey. No. So I don't want to give him any
so
calls, but I am forced to.
You've converted me. I'll also vote Draymond.
Executive of the year, Rob Hennigan has been disqualified because he was just fired.
Oh, poor guy.
Rick Bucher reported that apparently he was the one who took the whiteboard photo, too.
Oh, shut up.
That's outstanding.
That's outstanding.
I thought it was the homie. I thought it was like one of that Siamese buddies. No.
Siamese buddies?
That's Siamese. Sorry.
Who's your executive of the year?
I mean, it seems pretty easy. Did you give it to whoever the Warriors?
Bob Myers?
Yeah, I mean, they signed Kevin Durant. They have the best record in the league.
Masai Ujiri?
I'll go against that.
Mm. Hit me.
Mine? Vlade Divac.
Outstanding.
They got rid of Boogie.
They played so much better.
They excised the cancer.
That's right.
They're like McCready with a flamethrower getting that thing off that dude's back.
I don't know.
Do you think McCready was the thing at the end?
Oh, you're almost deaf. I'm team yes. Yeah.
We need to stay on.
It's Keith David, you idiot.
Have you seen
It's Childs.
Have you seen the thing Childs read along book?
What?
There's a read along book of the thing
it's the scariest movie ever made.
It's the scariest Childs book ever made too. It's not actually for children. Anyway, no. Slightly tongue in cheek. Come on now, that trade worked out. No.
I want that
Buddy
book.
Hield looks good. They got Cousins off, and Cousins, again, won, 33 games? Career high. Yeah. Good job. Pat on the back. Thumbs up. I'm not sure how good he's going to be. We still haven't answered the question if Boogie would soar in a good situation. But I think the Kings making a decisive step, moving out of the Boogie shadow, and giving their guys Scalabissier a chance to shine.
That's such a
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield forever.
This is so stupid that we're saying this out loud.
What is Buddy Hield's real first
Executive
name?
Executive of the Year is the worst award than Sixth Man of the Year.
The dumbest award ever. Yeah, because Pat Riley.
I just wanted to talk about
Let's do an even dumber award. Most Improved Player.
Well, it's got to be Antetokounmpo.
He did literally improve in literally every statistic.
And this might dovetail nicely into like looking at the over unders thing. The Bucks were good because he became MVP level.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the first player in NBA history to be top 20 in.
He's what, 21?
Points, rebounds, blocks, steals, assists.
He led his team in every category. It's ridiculous.
Tony Roten is 6 years older than him. That's false.
Oh, damn.
He's 4 years younger than Wade Baldwin.
That's nuts.
It's also not true.
No, he's 14 years old.
I'm not handling.
Keith's gone
I'm
full sociopath.
I'm not handling.
He's fake.
I might have a break.
You are fake news. We're going to have to give. You want some weed candy?
Sean Spicer.
Let's give Keith some weed candy. Calm him down.
No.
Tamp the edge.
I do have cocaine in my pocket.
Oh, you always do.
Are we done with awards?
That's it.
Good. Let's.
We're not going for first team all D.
Rookie of the year, Joel Embiid.
Oh, rookie of the year.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Joel Embiid only played in 31 games, still played more meaningful basketball than all the other rookies combined.
It's definitely not Dario Saric.
No, high volume shooter on a bad team.
I mean, Dario Saric is fun, but
yeah, I like
not him.
Dario Saric.
So it's either the slow and steady Malcolm Brogdon contributing to a playoff team
mm-hmm.
all season and
yeah.
saving them from the Dellavedova disaster,
mm-hmm.
or Embiid,
god of basketball,
the god of basketball, playing a short. I don't care much about the award. I feel like just give it to Embiid because, like,
absolutely.
What's the point? Like, why would you not?
Next award MVP goes to Joel Embiid as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
thank you.
I don't care. I would just say if it doesn't matter, then it's Rodney Magruder. If I have to pick one,
Pat McCall.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look now at the briefly before we get to our playoff preview at the recap of our over unders and or. John's gambling roller coaster of the season right after we insert a commercial for some of you listening on iTunes or other media players.
Shall I eat?
All right, John, you had some serious money riding on the last night of the season where these teams made a mockery of sport.
Very, 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 very true.
You had a Kings under.
I strayed from our path that we created.
Now this is hilarious. So to bring people up to speed, we had been, I think, 13-1 on our unanimous over
something amazing
under picks in the years 1 and 2. So John stepped up to the plate and decided to commit some serious units to.
Yeah, let's just call it units.
Units. To these unanimous picks, and actually we had 13 unanimous picks, which shows a little bit of groupthink, and probably was our downfall.
Yep,
also
that was
pride.
Our undoing.
Pride is a downfall.
It is.
But luckily, Chuck and Keith said they were going to bet with me, and then just as the season started, stopped responding to my texts.
Yeah,
very wise.
I'm still not comfortable with wagering in a state where it's not regulated.
Ooh,
sure.
Okay, it's the legal side of it. That's it.
When Overlord Trump makes it legal for everyone at whitehouse.trump.gov.
When he just turns us into Atlantic City, the country?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will honestly probably wager a lot.
I'll
actually tweet positively about it.
I can't
like,
wait.
Finally, this guy.
So we ended up going 7-6 this year, right?
We went 7-6 on our unanimous over-unders. Although I did tell our listeners, you won't lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So, I mean, you got the VIG covered. You're good.
You just actually, you know what? You lost money.
You lost money.
With 13, yeah, you probably lost.
You lost
a little taste.
3 units. Sorry, folks.
But previous 2 seasons, we did so well.
Yeah.
So at least our experiment, we've yielded some results.
I still did quite well, but what's funny, Keith revealed to me when I showed him my bets, I actually went straight up against some of our unanimous ones.
The question I have is, did you do it on purpose or was it an accident? Because we were unanimous on the Hornets going over, which I still dispute.
Okay, so October 25th, 2016, the wager was placed at 1:17 a.m. So methinks a lot of drinking and thinking had been done at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably did one of those late night anguishing over all my bets things and changed it. But it went pretty well for me this year, which is nice. I wish it had been. I wanted one of our 13-1 years, though, guys. Come on, keep the legend alive. But no, you no longer have to listen to us on over-unders. It's been dispelled.
Well.
What do you think?
2 out of 3 years isn't bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you take the aggregate.
It's not bad.
We've grown too close.
Overall, not as good as other years. The last couple years, we'd all been way over 60%. last year, John was our champ at 21-9.
Mm.
Chuck with 28 and two with two that were indistinguishable.
Yeah, I just said both.
He just said both sides.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. And I was 18 and 12 pulling up the rear.
Pretty darn good.
This year, I crushed you guys, actually.
I bet.
Which is good because I know I was last place year one as well. Mm-hmm. I was 19 and 11. John was 16 and 14. Chuck is on probation.
Mm-hmm. Not allowed to pick.
You just need to bring. You need to step it up. 14 and 16. That's some mainstream media right there.
Ooh-wee.
In my defense, the day we recorded that episode, I was extremely hungover and did no show.
Well, how is that any different from any podcast we've ever recorded?
I will say, not
I'm
only
high today.
Your irresponsibility not only embarrasses you right now, it cost John a lot of money. I think with some of those random unanimouses,
I came up 5 units on top this year, guys.
I will say the unanimouses we got: Cleveland under 57.
Big time.
Nailed it. Boston, by the skin of our teeth, over 52.5 mm-hmm. last night. We missed the Hornets over, which John won money on by betting the
betting
under.
Against.
What can I say? It changed my mind.
Yeah, I hate Steve Clifford.
Which I still, that's one in retrospect, I have no regrets.
I saw Keith in my mind rubbing his hands together watching the Hornets. I went, no.
Like,
no.
There's picks I regret. Like, I was the only one of us who went under on the Rockets.
Whoopsie daisy.
And John won money on that. But right. Like that one I understood. And I said, like, this could be the most of the ones I might be most wrong. This I still also dispute that the Bulls went over.
Yeah.
We unanimously had them under 40.5.
Lost money on that.
And they won 41 because the Nets refused to play.
Yeah.
On the final night. That was cost John.
But hey guys, when the NBA is really terrible, do these over-under bets at the beginning of the year because you'll care about all these awful games with these players you've never heard of.
The most embarrassing unanimous bet was we were unanimous over on the Magic. We drunk the Vogel Kool-Aid. And I remember in the middle of the summer, I thought the Magic had a horrible offseason and thought they were going to be terrible. And then I got converted.
I got you.
You
I'm sorry.
Like John got me. I talked to the Philip Rossman Reich, who covers the Magic. I read some Vogel interviews.
Yeah, that guy's a liar.
And they got me. And so that was embarrassing. Also, the Knicks, we won under every year. Every year under
the,
boys
the
and
Jackson
girls.
Regime.
The Sixers, we picked them to go under 25. And they, again, Joel Embiid, who knew? He had enough of them game. The Kings, based on Boogie, actually, honestly, let's be real. If they kept Boogie, they probably would have gone over.
It looked like it. It looked like it was finally going to happen.
But they went under again, skin of their teeth. The Nuggets over, which we loved. We screwed up betting against Russell Westbrook. We went under 45. We were wrong there.
Did I say under?
You were unanimous.
Unanimous.
Portland.
Chuck just shot me a dirty look.
I bet you if you listen to my thing there, because at the beginning of the year, I thought Westbrook was going to be good. If we listen to that episode,
yeah.
I was probably going, may go a full Super Saiyan and do what he did.
I'm getting mad about the Thunder over-under argument anyways, because everyone's the Thunder won exactly as many games as they thought they would. Vegas is good at this.
Yeah.
And
Vegas,
Vegas priced in the Russell Westbrook FU season.
Right, well, like, right. The only ones that, like, personally I was way off on was, like, the Wizards, the Bucks, the Magic. And that's not because I did a particularly good job. Actually, Vegas did a good job. This NBA season played out. Like, a lot of people picked all 16 NBA playoff teams.
Yeah.
Like, the one I missed was the Hornets. I thought the Hornets would be in, you know. But, like, a lot of people picked these 16 teams. And then we also had the over for San Antonio. We blew the over on Clippers. We picked over, and they did not take care of business. So that's all.
A lot of injuries on that team.
So that takes us to the playoffs.
Mm.
Let's do our playoff round picks to wrap this up. Our par fadeaway, what are we looking forward to? Although, maybe I should do the Stackhouse of Pancakes so I don't forget. Let's do the awards segment of the program before we do a very long par fadeaway, which will be our picking the series, the playoff series. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award is given each week to the worst performance in a box score. This week we have several nominees, with it being an 8-day window of entries. First of all, honorable mention goes to Sixth Man of the Year candidate Lou Williams, 1-for-11. Trevor Ariza, 1-for-11. Sixth Man of the Year favorite Eric Gordon, 2-for-14. James Jones, I'm not mad, I'm just impressed, 3-for-16. Juancho Hernan Gomez, by the way, I heard this. You want your dunk? You get your dunk.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Come on now. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Well done, Nuggets broadcast team. Jonathan Simmons, 5 for 19. Russell Westbrook, 6 for 25. Not my MVP. Those were our honorable
garbage
mentions.
Processes.
We have three nominees as they occurred chronologically through the 8 days. CJ McCollum in a win against the Jazz was 4 for 20.
Uh-oh, secured.
Nine.
They might win over Brandon Rush now.
The edibles just
nine,
kicked
9
in.
Point. Brandon Rush didn't shoot.
He still should be on this.
9 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block. No fouls, no turnovers. At least try. Jake Layman hadn't heard from him since
the legend.
Opening month.
The great Jake, white hope.
Jake Layman in a win against the Spurs, 2 for 15. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist.
The great white, nope.
1 block, 1 turnover. That's a great line.
Mm.
2 for 15 and 4 is your highest other stat in any category?
It's no, that's no 420, though.
Frank the Foreman Kaminsky.
Oh, he's back.
Who, I've said, like, he's kind of good and he's kind of why they do all right, but he also has so many bad games. He has a stunning amount of bad games.
Yeah.
1 for 12, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. 1 block, 1 foul. So we have CJ McCollum, 420, 9 points, 5 assists. Jake Layman, 2 for 15, 4 points. Frank the Foreman, 1 for 12, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. What do you got, Jake?
Let me put this in layman's terms. As much as I want to give it to Frank the Foreman Kaminsky and the pot joke, it's got to be Layman.
2 for 15 is terrible. Chuck, are you going to break type?
No.
No.
Are you kidding me? No.
Chuck's four, high as fuck.
No. Twisted, though.
I mean, 429 points is really bad.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 420 all day. Never not go
I was. I've even forgot who the player was that did it. Was that CJ McCollum?
Doesn't yeah. matter.
He looks high a lot, too.
It's that poor
I was going to do, I think, Jake Layman.
Mm.
2 for 15, 4 points, 4 boards.
Yeah.
I know the soccer moms in Portland love him, but. I think, Jake Layman, you're the winner this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. Congratulations, Jake Layman. I'll be real. Never thought you'd get one.
Trophies in the mail.
Trophies in the mail. Never thought. We might actually send him one because he'd probably Instagram it.
Yeah. He'd be super happy.
Yeah. All right. Par fadeaway. Long par fadeaway.
You guys ready?
This is part two. What?
I got the series prices pulled up. Vegas
series
and
prices
everything.
Pulls up. Let's do our playoff predictions.
I'm going for my gut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. did me so well on this.
Yeah, I really thought you would spend a lot of time analyzing this.
Mm-hmm. Doing all that research. Hey, I had to find out about Paul Manafort.
You've been in the lab tracking down leads? Chuck, I'm going with my gut. No shit, man.
That's all I do.
Let's bring it back. Tony Allen.
Tony Allen.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Let's start with the 1-8 matchup.
That's going to be my baseball.
In the Eastern Conference. Let's kick this off with a bang. We have the Bulls hosting, or excuse me, the Celtics hosting the Bulls. Keith, what's your prognosis? And don't forget how many games.
The best player in the series is on the Bulls.
Indeed. Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo is balling. Joffrey LaVerne.
Don't.
King.
Don't.
I am not a Celtics believer.
They've been very normal. People just don't realize how bad the Cavs were for them to catch them.
I think Brad Stevens has a little of that Popovich.
Yeah.
I understand the regular season. Mm. That being said, I don't understand how this Bulls team is in the playoffs. I hate them.
Ugh.
I think they're...
They cannot score.
I think they're amoral.
Mm-hmm.
I will go Celtics in 5. That being said, I was primed to pick Celtics in 7 over the Heat. Like, I was primed for a Celtics in 7, like a knockdown, drag out, like, what is wrong with the Celtics? But I can't do it with the Bulls. Celtics in 5.
Chuckle Hut, you writing these down, Keith? Thank you.
So, of all...
Here he is. Go on with his gut, folks.
So of all the
gut check time.
So of all the first round,
gutting it out.
First round matchups. When it comes to an upset, I think this is the most likely to be an upset as far as like standings. Yeah.
What?
I just think Jimmy Butler can turn on some like nuts magic. Dwayne Wade, if they need like clutch end of the game scoring while he's an inefficient monster.
He's going to say all this and then pick the Celtics.
I would hope so.
If a first round upset were to happen, I think it's this series. I don't think it'll happen. But I think it's probably the most likely out of all of them.
Way to spoil your whole picks. And Chuck's going chalk, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Both sides of his mouth.
That's it.
Both sides of his gut, rather. My bad.
That's the only place I talk from.
How many games?
So I'm going to go. I'm going to go Celtics in six.
Do you guys remember Dikembe Mutombo gleefully kicking his feet up in the air?
That is where kissing hardwood paroxysm came from.
Mm. You guys remember the glee?
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to get to see Bobby Portis do it.
OG Bobby Portis.
Bulls in seven.
Ooh.
Better basketball for the past few months.
Aren't the Bulls something like 24 and 21 over the last? I mean, that's a large sample, but right. Less. I know in the short term, they've been playing.
I think we're going to get playoff Wade.
Who did you pick last year?
The Celtics.
You picked the Celtics to win in the round, and they were terrible.
Terrible. And maybe that's the stink I'm still smelling here. Rajon's playing well. I think all this stuff is aligning for the Bulls. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at all since they cannot score. They literally cannot score.
Well, Jimmy Butler can put, points.
But, yeah, I got Bulls in seven.
That is shocking.
God help me.
Sorry, Celtics fans. None of us like your team.
Mm-hmm. No, not likable at all.
I mean,
Al Horford's going to disappear. That's why you signed him.
You can game plan for Isaiah Thomas. You can do it.
Isaiah Thomas, again, transcendent this season in clutch scoring, end of games. Their clutch numbers are like the grit and grind era Grizzlies RIP. They were like, I think, 24 and 10 in all kinds of situations.
I mean, the Celtics in a lot of ways have a lot of statistical anomalies to push them this high. And, I just think this is going to be.
But when Jimmy locks down on Isaiah.
Just remember.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, Bobby Portis kicking at the air. 2-7 matchup. We have Chuck's Cleveland Cavaliers.
Shut up.
Hosting the Indiana Pacers. Chuck, let's start with your gut.
My gut tells me Cavs in five.
Very well.
Say no more.
Keith?
LeBron James hasn't lost a first round game in a long time.
Yeah.
I think it is going to take him a second, though, to kind of work through the Pacers.
PG wants that
Paul
money.
Paul George wants the money. He's been playing pretty well.
Got to try out for the cameras in L.A.
I also think it's going to be Cavs in five. I think the Pacers will have one chance.
Unanimous.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse will be rocking on that game three.
You should go to that, Keith. You alone.
I bought
Cavs in five.
I bought one Pacers ticket, and now I get StubHub alerts. I got a StubHub alert today about so all three of us Cavs in five, not four though.
Not four.
Your third seed, Toronto Raptors, hosting your sixth seed, the Milwaukee Giannises. Keith, what's happening?
Best player in the series, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
John Henson?
Comfortably.
Future Grizzly Chris Middleton.
Second best player is Kyle Lowry. Third best player,
DeMar DeRozan.
I think it's DeRozan. I think
you could argue DeRozan's better than Lowry.
I think if Middleton's hamstring was healthy, I'm the crazy person who watches both sides of basketball, offense and defense. But this is not the year for it. I do think...
Dude, it's the Raptors in the playoffs. It's always the year for it.
The Raptors are the team... Spoiler.
Is this Kyle Lowry injury going to help them? Since he got to rest, now he won't flame out horribly in the playoffs?
That's a great angle. I think the Raptors are the second best team in the East behind the Cavs. I feel like I've seen a lot of people saying that, so that means we're all wrong. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how I feel. Although, they stumble so much. This is the team I can see... dropping that first game and whoopsie day, we're on the ropes again.
I mean, it happens every year.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Raptors in seven. Coming out party for Giannis.
Chuck, what is your truffle show?
National coming out party.
Let me get them wraps in six. I think the Bucks, the talent there at the top. I think we're going to see the Greek Freak exposition. This series, and he's going to take over a few games, and you're going to go, geez,
yeah,
he's that dude. So
they're
not going to win the series.
This is the series I am most torn on. So I'm going to say it goes 7 games, and I am going to now flip a coin.
Should have had the coin ready. It would have been better radio.
I'm not very good at this.
Yeah. He has to open his wallet for a coin. Oh, he's picked out a bag of cocaine. Now
there was a bag of cocaine right next to that coin.
Now there's a flip.
Heads. Bucks and 7.
And this time we didn't turn off the audio.
We also didn't even say what heads or tails was going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I was taking bucks.
So far, John, you have bulls and bucks advancing.
I'm not done yet.
Are we on PTI and I don't know it?
But the producers told me ahead of time that I couldn't agree with you guys every time.
They were like, John, you need to be flaming hot. Coming hot on those tapes.
Okay, I think...
I also...
Raptors, until they prove me wrong, I'm not taking them in the playoffs.
I also think Jason Kidd scares me every game. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going
to
be amazing.
And this team struggles to score. So
that's my theme of this playoffs is I'm going to keep taking teams that cannot score. So that's going to be really great for me.
I love the Ibaka, do you remember, PJ Tucker.
Yeah. Do you remember the way the Bucks played last year in the playoffs? They kind of like lost their minds and kind of like.
Oh, yes. Truly.
I think they're not as composed from a leadership perspective.
So you're taking the Bucks in 7?
Taking the Bucks in 7.
I'm taking the Raps in 6.
Man, I might switch mine to Raptors in 5.
Just like all of us, one of us.
It doesn't make sense. Well, let's move on.
He's trying to maintain our credibility.
Let's move on. Yeah.
4th seeded Washington Wizards, 5th seeded Atlanta Hawks. I will point out, guys, the Vegas series price.
What is the price on this one?
Is much, much, much lower than I had could have even imagined. I thought it was going to be a lot cheaper. Or a lot more expensive to take the Wizards. They're only -200 favorites to win this series over the Hawks.
The Wizards are the team. This is where I'm really annoyed with.
That's the second lowest price, by the way.
With the playoff matchups, the Wizards were the team I came in. Like, I was itching to pick them to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they drew the Hawks.
They had. Exactly. No, 100%. The Wizards had a 2-month stretch where they were awesome. They were playing a lot of home games and that they were taking that confidence on the road. Like, They were killing. They'd finally found their stride. They've fallen off of that. I don't believe in that 2-month stretch as good as it was. Although Scotty Brooks, pat on the back, thumbs up, good job. So the matchup though, the Hawks can't score either. I don't trust them. I will go Wizards in. I don't know, gentlemen sweep. Wizards in 5.
Chuckle Hut.
What's
that belly say?
I'm doing a. I think Atlanta sucks
bad,
and I could see him being swept. I think they went under by a half game. Oh. I could see him getting swept. So
you're gonna win. All right,
let's do it. 4. Whiz balls in 4.
Vegas has creeped me out enough because they obviously don't want you to take the Hawks. Has creeped me out enough that I'm going to say Wizards in 7 again. Mm. Let's hope I'm right about all these 7-game series.
Yeah, we got a lot of good series.
So that's the Eastern Conference. So
we're going to finish the Eastern Conference.
So all right, so next round,
I have the Bulls meeting the Wizards, and I have the Wizards winning that in 6. Chuck, you have the Celtics meeting the Wizards. How many games and who is the winner?
I think the Celtics will take that. It'd be a good matchup. The guard play with the wing defense for Boston and the talent on Washington's end. It's going to be a 7-game series, I think.
Avery Bradley on Bradley Beal should be fun.
And I'm going with what I feel is better coaching. And
Cool Dad Brad.
Cool Dad Brad gets the vote of Celtics in 7. Would be Woo! My move.
Hit me, Keith.
Celtics in 7. And again, I'm angry the Raptors and Cavs are matched up, and then these Wizards and Celtics, who I don't believe in as much, are matched up.
Are you
not angry?
Are you angry about that?
I honestly don't care.
So that's another Celtics and 7 over there?
Yep.
Are you angry about that, or are you angry that your head it tells you the same thing as my gut?
Mm.
That's also disconcerting.
Keith, you have the Raptors facing the Cavs. What's going to happen?
It's going to be a good series, but Cavs are going to take care of it in 6.
Chuck, you have the same matchup. Oh, what say you?
Yeah.
It's your Cavs versus...
I go Cavs. Cavs 6. Cavs 7. Let's do it.
Ooh, a real knockdown dragout.
Yeah.
I've got the Cavs annihilating the Bucks in a sweep.
That would, I think, happen.
Were the Bucks
were
somehow
the Bucks
win.
In the second round of the playoffs.
Now you fellas have the Celtics versus the Cavs in a matchup of coaching icons, Brad Stevens and Tyronn Lue. I hope they get David Blatt to call the game.
There's so much blood. There's so much blood. Cavs in four.
Yeah.
Young man.
Kyle Korver's going to be locked in. Channing Frye's going to be locked in. Kevin Love's going to be locked in.
Darren Williams.
J.R. Smith's going to be locked in. If Darren Williams gets on the court, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding.
It might be just that bad.
Yeah. He'll be garbage timing.
My heart tells me that,
We're not interested in what your heart says. We're interested in what your gut says.
My heart wants the Cavs to lose, but my gut tells me that the Cavs are going to do another seven gamer there with the C's and go the distance. LeBron hasn't really been historically a choke them out kind of player in the second and third rounds, as far as my history or my memory goes with him. They tend to play longer series. LeBron's teams tend to play longer series in the playoffs. So I think, another seven game LeBron win for the Cavaliers.
Cavs, Wizards. I've got Cavs in six. To the West we go.
To the West.
Let's start at the top. Warriors hosting Blazers. Keith, what have you?
Four games. Not messing around.
Foe. Four. I think four.
Four.
Foe.
I think they're going to roll out.
We just Moses Malone this thing.
I think they're going to roll out Nurkic for game three. And
it won't matter.
I hope they don't, because I'm worried it's going to be some bad injury or something.
I don't think there's anything else to be said about that matchup.
Blazers have three mediocre draft picks coming. Good job.
Somehow we're going to get to a series that may be less competitive than that, with the Spurs hosting the Tony Allen-less Grizzlies. Let's start with you, Chuck.
Wait, did Tony Allen get hurt?
Fuck you.
Okay. I think that's a four-game sweep.
Correct. Keith.
I had prepared a lot of things to say about the Grizzlies.
You should see it. It just says Nick Calathes real big on a piece of paper.
I have written Nick Calathes in giant marker on my piece of paper here. I think the slowdown is perfect for the Grizzlies. This is a series where Zebo can play.
Yeah.
I was wrestling with, do I think the Grizzlies can take him to seven? It's hard for me to overstate how big of a blow I think losing Tony Allen is.
Yeah.
Their guards are terrible. Mm-hmm. Their guards are terrible.
Young, terrible, no experience.
Also, I was getting very concerned that, like, James Ennis was becoming... It was... The SAT test was Lionel Hollins is to Ed Davis, as Jaeger is to James Johnson, as Fizdale is to James Ennis. Like, the fact that he was falling out of the lineup to Wayne Selden, I like what I've seen from Selden.
Rock chop.
But he should not be playing this lineup they're doing with Brandon Wright and Zebo and Selden and Troy Daniels.
What is your pick before I kill myself and you?
Gentlemen sweep. I think the Grizzlies win a game, because I think the slowdown, the Grizzlies have the second and third best players in this series. LaMarcus Aldridge is not good anymore.
I think that's overstating it a little bit.
Marc Gasol and Mike Conley.
Keith's been reading Twitter a lot.
Yeah. I think he's still a good NBA player.
Yeah, he's still good.
I'm not saying he's not a good NBA player.
He's not an all-star.
I'm saying Mike Conley and Marc Gasol are better than LaMarcus Aldridge.
I would agree.
Kawhi's the best player.
I'll agree.
The Grizzlies have the next two best players.
Marc Gasol's the best player ever.
Gonna need a bigger boat. So, like, the slowdown series, the fact that Zebo and Mark can play together and not be damaging to the team for a lot of the series, unless Davis Bertans gets going.
Bertans.
I've got Spurs sweeping us, unfortunately.
So I got him in five. I think the Grizzlies will win one.
We'll be thrilled to be wrong. Oh wow, I just got really, really depressed talking about that. Wow, this is the worst day in podcast history. Is this what you felt like when LeBron chose Cleveland?
I don't think you guys could ever.
I don't.
Those
depths. I don't think we'll.
I really, really love Tony Allen. I know. Third seeded Houston Rockets.
I think he's my favorite NBA player ever.
Hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. Keith, what's going on? This is your chance to do some more wrongheaded MVP pontificating.
God, I wish you picked Oklahoma City to win. That would be great,
man.
I think this is going to be a knockdown dragout.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the series of series. Mm-hmm. I think seven games.
Where's that coin?
Who are you taking, Keith?
You know, I'm not sure. Honestly,
he's so full of shit.
No, honestly, this is like Chuck going from his gut. I haven't done research for these series. Like, I'm just letting this wash over me. Like, I've been enjoying it. Like,
I will watch every game of the series.
Oh, no question.
Yeah,
no question.
Unless they like,
I kind of want to go Thunder because I think it's going to be that close.
Thunder and seven.
I'm gonna go. Let me say, can you guys convince me? What are you guys doing? What are y'all's picks?
Chuck,
this is unfair.
I've been going first like every time.
Gut.
That's not
gut
true.
Guy. I think I have no question in my mind that this will be a ridiculously hard thing to decide because I don't know. Seven games. Where's that coin? I'm serious. I have no clue.
I don't know if the Rockets just got complacent.
Like, I think they saw the finish line.
They've been kind of locked in at three for a long time.
They have
time.
Been.
The Houston Rockets are really good at beating bad teams. The question to me is the Thunder a bad team?
It's a great way to put
it. That's the question.
And it is. They are awesome at scoring, and the Thunder are not awesome at scoring.
No.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't believe in Eric Gordon. I do not believe in Ryan Anderson. I do not believe in playoff Lou Williams. So, well, I don't know. I think this is going to be a drag out.
I think Keith just took Russell Westbrook and his MVP to win.
My NBA MVP, I'm releasing it in the 70th minute of this podcast. Kevin Durant, as I predicted in the preseason.
I wish you were right. I have so much money on that.
Unbelievable.
You scumbag.
The greatest stats we've ever seen on the best team in the league.
So Keith has chosen Thunder and seven after much filibustering.
I haven't, actually.
Right, well, you need a decision.
We need something.
Chuck, you've gone.
So I'm going to go. I don't trust. I don't.
DeMontis Sabonis?
No, this is what I don't trust.
Do you remember James Harden's last playoff game, Boys and Ghouls?
While both Harden and Westbrook now are the head guys, Harden has been in the playoffs by himself as the head honcho. Westbrook hasn't. This is his first year as the dude that everyone's going to look
to. I believe he has.
Oh, that year that Durant got hurt.
Yeah, Durant's been hurt.
But, you know, I think as far as this team's concerned, it's about that. And I think, Westbrook isn't going to win that game seven that we all agree is going to happen. So the Rockets in seven.
So you've taken Rockets in seven. Keith, what have you taken?
I will take Rockets in seven.
I'm taking Rockets in six.
Okay.
They are heavy Vegas favorites. And as I pointed out all year, besides Russell Westbrook, the Thunder are horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Like the front line
bad players.
Kanter's going to be
only hope,
hooping all over.
The only hope the Thunder have is they will be able to out-rebound the Rockets
tremendously.
But that, to me, isn't a big impactful thing in a seven-game series.
I have my friend Charles Barkley on the line, and jump-shooting teams don't win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. How's that going?
Just saying.
Hey, I took Harden over Westbrook, guys.
All right.
You turnabout's fair play for Mr. Parrish. Let's go. Let's take it to Los Angeles, where the Clippers somehow miraculously are hosting the Jazz.
I think the Jazz done messed up and gave away home court advantage.
They needed that game.
And I really was liking my Jazz team. I think they are maybe the fifth best team in the NBA. However, I think the Clippers might be the fourth best team in the NBA.
Clippers sure do have that last run, wild bunch. Why not feel to them, don't they?
Mm-hmm. I am picking the Clippers to win, even though I will be cheering with all that is in my soul.
Yep.
For those holy Jazz to win.
But these are two teams that kind of have very similar structures. You know,
how many games, Keith?
Big defensive centers.
I'll go seven. Why not?
Good point guards.
I hope we're right about all these seven-game series.
Man, the Grizzlies season is going to be done in 6 days. And there's going to be another week and a half of first-round playoff games.
I have a really hard time watching the playoffs for the week after the Grizzlies get bounced. So I'm going to have to really force myself for the good of the podcast.
So,
Chucklehead.
I think Chris Paul is the best defensive point guard in the league, and that will nullify one of the biggest offensive weapons there in Utah. So I think the Clippers are going to win in five.
Part of my research should have been to find out exactly how healthy George Hill is.
That's what I'm going to talk about right now. His toe is still bothering him, and I think his toe is whatever gout he has.
Can't wait to get gout.
Oh, me too.
Just looking forward to it.
I think that's the real story, because I'm ready to pick Jazz here. I really, really am, because I think Quinn Snyder's a better coach than Doc Rivers. I think that the Cavs have the front court to handle the Clips front court, and I think and who's going to guard Gordon Hayward?
Mbamute.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, I think this is the two. It's the best series in the two best teams playing each other that we're getting in the first round. Mm-hmm. The two closest in ability or closest in good ability. Like Wizards Hawks might be good, but I don't think they're as elite.
Other
of
than
teams.
Wizards Hawks, this is the one that Vegas has the closest.
Yeah, and it, legit. I mean, these are the 4-5 series, and
but I think it's. I would take the Jazz 5 times. Out of 5, if I thought George Hill was healthy, and I would take him in like 6, but now I'm very, very, very worried about it.
This is also
so I'm going to take the Jazz in 7.
This is also the Jazz's first go round.
Yep,
first time in the big dance.
It's really hard to pick against the Clippers' last run, but I'm going to.
I never really believed that your playoff experience leads to more playoff success, but I think it's the case.
Also, so didn't want to quit. Like I have a theme going where I pick teams that cannot score at all.
Right.
And Jazz kind of fit that motif, so let's move on. So now we're into the second round. Keith, you have Spurs and Rockets. We all have Spurs and Rockets.
Sweet.
What do you guys think is going to happen here? This is where I think the wheels fall off for the Rockets.
Yeah, I have no doubt that the Spurs are going to win that game in 6. 6, it could be 6, could be 7, but they're going
to. You're going to have to choose one.
But 6. If I'm going to have to pick, it's going to be 6.
Keith, holla holla.
I'm actually going to go Spurs in 6 as well. I think Houston is going to be, if they advance against the Rockets,
be wounded.
I mean, against the Thunder. I think it's also going to be another tough battle for the Spurs. I don't think the Spurs. It's going to be tough. Like I don't trust the Spurs as awesome as they've been, and this has bitten me before. You know, every year I think they're not going to do well in the playoffs. They win the title. So
well, and every year that I thought they were destroying in the regular season, they get bounced out.
I'll go Spurs 6.
Rockets.
Ooh,
7.
Really? Is this where the wheels fall off for the Rockets?
I like to set it up for you guys and then switch it.
What a schmuck.
Here's my reasoning. I just think that D'Antoni's shit is going to work for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And then I think adjustments will be made. Is Pop ready for it already? I don't know. But right now, what they have going on, and I'm kind of with you, Keith, and it'll probably bite me right in the ass. The Spurs just don't scare me very much. I mean, Kawhi is a transcendent player, but then after that, I'm not really worried about anybody. You know, Aldridge and Gasol, they've been there before. They know how to play the game. But then, I mean,
they got Manu.
They've got
Tony. They got
those guys are terrible now.
But they can squeeze some playoff juice. I think they're, basically in their, cryogenic state, and they're about to explode and really surprise us the way Tim Duncan did. In the playoffs last couple years, where he didn't have great regular seasons, but he played great minutes in the playoffs.
The Spurs will need to maintain their championship level defense as they have all year to do it. I don't know if they can do it for a whole series. Right. And my God, does Chase Buddy Budger disagree with me? Second round on the other side, I've got Jazz versus Warriors. Jazz getting destroyed in 5. You guys have Jazz and Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
What say ye?
Warriors and Clippers.
Warriors.
Excuse
Clippers.
Me. Oh God. Warriors and Clippers.
Warriors and Clippers.
I wish I had Warriors and Clippers because Clippers play the Dubs very, very well.
Well,
that
is where
you've been saying that, John, and it's not actually true.
Oh, not anymore?
They've lost, 14 straight?
Good God.
They've lost a lot in a row to the point where J.J. Redick jokes about it a lot.
Well, I've got my apology for next week.
Yeah. So I think it would be a bloodbath, actually, and I think I'll go Warriors in 5 over the Clippers.
Warriors in 4.
Keith's a huge fan of the gentleman sweep.
Warriors in 4.
So that leads us to, for you guys, the two best teams facing off, Dubs and Spurs. What do you think there?
This is going to be hard.
Man, I think the Dubs are just going to kill everybody in the West.
I have that feeling, but there's something about the way they match up there.
I mean, don't forget, I keep falling back to the playoffs the last few years when I think the Warriors are going to kill and they don't.
Right.
You know,
yeah, and they kind of limp in. Even when last year when they won all those games in the regular season, they still didn't destroy in the playoffs. I think the matchups are kind of impossible to figure out where there's strengths on one side, there's weaknesses on the other. I want to say Dubs, but I think it's going to be the Spurs in 7.
Wow. So I think when you do that, I think when you do that strengths and weaknesses thing. It's all Warriors.
Yeah.
I think Pop, you know, obviously, I think he's my coach of the year. He gets them ready regular season-wise and playoffs every few years. I think the Warriors are just too much, too good. I don't trust the Spurs outside of Kawhi. And I would say the Warriors beat them in, I guess I'll give them a couple. Maybe I'll make it exciting. So the Warriors take care of it in six.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I changed my mind. Warriors in seven.
I'm not.
Oh, I swapped them. Mm-hmm.
I've got Warriors in five.
Over the Rockets.
Yes, over the Rockets.
So we got
finals, Cavs, Warriors.
Cavs, Warriors.
Chalk.
I want to go last.
But it's never happened.
I'll go first since I've gotten to go last all
it's
these times.
It's never happened.
I've got the Warriors in six.
Three years, two teams facing each other in the finals has never happened.
Yeah.
Which is why I went Spurs in seven, just because whatever, numbers.
Oh, yeah, you think it's
been... It's two. Those things, they stay...
Black's going to hit. It's been red too many times in a row.
But yeah, if it's Cavs, Warriors, and I went Warriors in seven and also Spurs in seven, but if it's Warriors... Then we're going to, I think LeBron's going to lose tremendously, bigly. We're going to have a great, great, great series. It's probably going to go six games, and I think the Warriors win in six.
Speaking of bigly, my prediction, total global war before June.
Before the end of the
finals. We don't even get it.
And at that point, we'll be...
Total global war is my prediction.
Are we going to really be sad about Tony Allen then? Probably not. It gives us some perspective.
Did Tony Allen's injury take me down that rabbit hole? Yes.
Is that why you're so
I'm just
dark?
Googling weird things right now. I'm in a dark space.
I'm just going to sit here silently until the podcast ends.
He Googled. Did you Google Goatsy? Never do that.
God.
The new
Timberwolves logo?
I have never, in the 2 years previous of our podcast, I don't ever pick the winner of the championship correctly.
Mm-mm.
So, is this reverse jinxing? I don't know. I'm picking Cavs over the Warriors. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the Warriors sustained excellence with Durant this season. We've seen it on and off,
I think we're about to, boys.
We might see it. I believe in LeBron James. I think the additions they made around him
are
awesome.
It's not all about Durant either. Steph Curry's been otherworldly for the past month.
Yes.
Yeah, he was otherworldly for 7 months last year.
But this team has...
And then Kevin Love shut him down!
This team has so much momentum. They've won 15 in the last 16.
The Golden State Warriors were up 3-1.
They blew a 3-1
They were?
Lead.
They blew a 3-1 lead.
I didn't know. You know what? I'm so proud of this podcast. We went a whole season without making that dumbass joke.
It's not our thing.
We make our own dumbass jokes.
So, I got Cavs in 7, and you guys have Warriors in 6?
Yeah, right? I'm going Dubs in 6.
That's pretty good. That wraps it up.
Wow.
Thanks, you guys, for sticking around for the very long episode. We appreciate all listeners. If you want to help our show out, a couple of ways you can do that. The best way is to go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You can become a supporter there. You can join the Slack chat. The Fantasy League is over. Congrats to, who was it? V Novelli?
Yeah.
Who finished second to John.
I never lose in fantasy.
Market!
I would like to gloat right here while I was the worst on the podcast in picking the over-unders.
You were the best
at the Pick'em League this year on our Patreon. I destroyed all comers.
No listeners took us down in fantasy or in Pick'em. I think we're going to have some more stuff. We'll organize a playoff Pick'em where we pick the rounds in this series.
Right.
And I'm not holding myself to anything I said on this episode.
No.
When money actually gets involved. So go there. Go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast and you can support us there and join that group of people. You can also go to fastbreakbreakfast.com. That'll redirect you to the Memorial Magic Alums.
Library.
We're trying to sign up voters for that for a chance to win money if they win it big in the basketball tournament.
Don't let the basketball stop, people.
Exactly.
August basketball.
You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. Grizzlies fans, keep your eyes open. We're having watch parties, Tony Allen or no. For the Spurs series coming up this weekend. Follow us on Twitter for that and at Grizz Nashville. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?